Welcome to the 29th Annual Executive War College brought to you by The Dark Report. This year's conference was in beautiful New Orleans, April 30th through May 1st. The title of this presentation is Version 2.0, Small Lab Sites, Big Patient Impact, Delivering Lab Testing in Rural Areas to Stay Ahead of Infectious Disease Outbreaks, from STDs to Respiratory Viruses. The presenter is Christy Madden, Laboratory Manager, United Indian Health Services, Arcata, California.
Good morning, everyone. I hope everyone's doing fine today. Again, my name is Christy Madden. I'm the lab manager at United Indian Health Services. My topic is Small Lab Sites, Big Impact, Delivering Lab Testing in Rural Areas to Stay Ahead of Infectious Disease Outbreaks from STDs to Respiratory Viruses. 2.0, and the reason this is 2.0 is I presented this probably 2 years ago prior to me adding infectious disease outbreaks and STD, so that's why we're calling it version 2.0. Here are my disclosures. This, of course, is just expressed in this presentation to those of the presenter and provided for illustration purposes only. Better? Okay, sorry about that. Thank you. The objective today is to define system requirements for a small lab environment, discuss workflow efficiencies observed by new instrumentation, discuss some infectious disease and STD outbreaks, and recognize best practices based on some case studies. Thank you. So who is United Indian Health Services, or I'm going to feature say UIHS. We're a consortium of 9 tribes serving 18,000 Northern Native Americans in Humboldt and Delaware counties, and that is in extreme Northern California up to the Oregon border, and we're on the Pacific Ocean. So it's very beautiful. We have a lot of redwood trees, a lot of Native American culture. Just to give you an idea of, as far as population, Humboldt County is 134,000. Del Norte County is about 26,000. Just to give you another perspective, the city of New Orleans is 320,000, and the New Orleans with the vicinity is 1.2 million. So just getting an idea of the population and the rural state of our clinic. We provide dental, medical, laboratory, behavioral health, vision, tribal public health, and elder nutrition. We just celebrated our 50th anniversary in 2020. The main location has 8 providers. There's 5 other locations. They each have a provider, and each location has a lab assistant available for blood draws and point-of-care testing. The next few images are going to be those of the local culture and how the traditions have carried on still to today. In the upper left, you can kind of see a circle as our door, and the bottom left is an aerial view of our campus, and everything is in a circle, so meaning the circle of life. The top right is a historic of some ladies in their regalia, and then below right, of course, is some current ladies in their regalia as well. Top left is a modern version of gentlemen in their regalia, and the bottom left is, of course, a historical picture of our regalia. The top right is called a traditional house. You can see how the roofing is a little bit different. That's how a traditional house, that's how they were built. And you can see in our clinic in the bottom right, that's a picture of one of our clinics in which the traditional roofing was represented. Next is some basketry. The ones on the left are caps. Those caps are woven for individuals to wear in their regalia. And then the two right ones are actually woven so tightly that they are waterproof. They retain water. or water doesn't leak out. Sorry about that. the top left is a picture of some traditional hand-carved canoes that are carved out of redwood trees. You can see at the bottom that they're currently used. And, of course, I just mentioned a historic picture about the wooden canoes. And driving up 101 and through the different areas of the river, you can see them upriver or downriver parked on the banks. So they're still used today. Here's some pictures of some redwood trees. You can see how large they are. Some of the oldest and largest trees are located in northwestern California within the redwood trees. Here is on the top left, that's a traditional baby basket. A lot of times it has abalone on it, which is a shell, and they rock the basket and the abalone makes a soothing sound. So you do see those used a lot in the clinic. The center top is a very famous author in our area, Liz Riesling, and this is her version of the circle of life. The bottom left are woodpeckers, and a lot of the Native American tribes use the woodpeckers as called their prayer bird. And of course, being Northern California, we have elk. So when you see an elk sign, you need to take it seriously. They will show up. And then the right is a picture of our service areas. So it kind of also shows you the representation of our tribes. And our tribes are, hang on, I have to make sure I read them all right. We represent the Elk Valley Rancheria, the Yurok Tribe, Talua Tribe, Big Lagoon Rancheria, Trinidad Rancheria, Wyatt, Bear River, Blue Lake, and Smith River Rancheria. So that's just a representation of our services. So why do we want to expand the laboratory? Well, we want to in-house chronic care, so we want to look at the diabetes, the heart disease. Once we get the management of the chronic care, we can adjust the medications quicker. We can diagnose and treat faster because we're going to be bringing in those tests. And bringing in those tests, we're going to give them one day to second day, same day, next day result. We're going to avoid the challenges with send-outs and waiting 3 to 7 days. With us being so remote, we had challenges with send-outs because they would often come out of temperature or some of them would be lost. Therefore, we would have a higher rejection rate of tubes being rejected. And, of course, waiting 3 to 7 days for results where most of that testing we're going to be able to do in-house and also have a courier bring all those samples to the main location in Arcata to have those results tested and resulted. Again, sometimes we had up to 5% of our specimens rejected or lost. We're going to improve patient engagement because we're doing the same day, next day results. We're able to get those results to the same day or next day and really involve the patient in their care instead of waiting 5 to 7 days for a follow-up visit where the patient isn't focused on something else. You bring them in, you get them taken care of within that time window, and they're better focused in their care. And also, you're able to provide quicker behavioral counseling opportunities as far as getting them in to see the diabetes, getting them in to see the diabetes nurse, getting them in to see the dietitian. So those are the reasons why we chose to expand our laboratory. And I forgot to say, so when I came to UIHS 6 years ago, my first day I witnessed like 120 tubes being sent out to a place down in San Diego with those getting lost, those getting rejected, waiting 3 to 7 days for the results. And I said, we need to look at expanding our laboratory services. We can bring all this in-house to get quicker results. So we took one location in the main location in Arcata, California, and made it a high-complexity lab. So we took it from a PPM or a point-of-care lab up to a high-complexity lab. So sorry about that. Excuse me. Okay, sorry. So why expand laboratory services? Not only was it clinical benefits, but it gave us some financial benefits. It reduced the need for administrative tasks. So our front office assistants, or front desk assistants, wasn't having to make so many phone calls for them to come to remind them of their appointment. And also, this minimized the need for patient follow-ups because we're getting them in to see them same day, next day. And then more appointments were available for our patients that needed to be seen for sickness or well child or well visits. And of course, it was another revenue source. And with all the tests that I've added before with the new infectious disease and STD, I've reduced my reference bill by almost 85%. So not only were we paying a reference lab $400,000, $500,000 a month, now I may be paying them $20,000, if that sometimes. So that made another financial difference in what kind of money was being paid to them. Things to think about when you're building a lab site, you need to look at space and design. Where are we going to put it? What departments will this affect with us? It's going to affect a lot of them. It's going to affect IT, HR, fiscals, facility, courier. IT, it's going to affect, you know, we need to put in new IT lines and phone lines, fax lines. EHR, we're going to, you know, find an LIS system that's compatible with our EHR system. Fiscal, this is going to be less billing out and more revenue coming in. Facilities, this is another space for them to take care of. We're going to tax our courier a little bit more by bringing specimens to us. And, of course, receiving, we're going to be receiving a lot more reagents and consumables, so receiving needs to know why we're getting all this new stuff. And one important thing is involve all these departments in your decision-making and prove them, include them in the project. That way it's giving them ownership and saying, hey, I helped her do this or I helped them do this. So it's giving them some ownership. Of course, evaluate your current reference lab bill, and that way you're able to build your test menu as far as what tests are ordered the most. And I'll show you some of my test menu in a few slides. Staffing needs. Am I going to need another laboratory assistant? Of course, I'm going to need a clinical laboratory scientist, which, again, are hard to find, as most of you know. We're going to need to look at a new LIS system and make sure the instrumentation and, of course, the EHR is compatible with it. Do I want to do a reagent rental or a purchase? Of course, it's construction timeline. And this is where this is unheard of. I worked at a very large healthcare facility in Northeast Ohio, and I worked there for about 12 years. I started in August. I pitched this idea to our executive leadership team in October. We went before the board in December. And in May, I had a Sysmex XN550. And in July, I had an Abbott 4100. So this all happened within a year. And my board of directors really saw the impact that really made to our clients and our Native Americans. So I was really blessed to have the support of this organization to do this task. And it's been really successful. One of the other things as far as regulatory, you're going to need to add some additional proficiency testing and, of course, do some calibration verification programs to make sure that we're all meeting our peer groups. And changing the current license, we're going to upgrade it from a PPM or a point of care testing up to a high complexity lab. And this is one of the main things that I learned. Do this when either if you just have an idea of adding an instrument to make your from a high complexity or a moderate complexity, submit the application. It took me 2 years to get my high complexity lab license, and that's unfortunate, but that's what happens often in the States. they're behind, and you're trying to move along with the project, but we're still waiting on the state. Luckily, I was able to continue with this project, so that was, it was difficult. I apologize. Another important thing is to get support from your staff. Get support from your phlebotomists, your front office people. Get support from the people in medical. Often, sometimes think the glass is half empty and, you know, I don't want to do this. I don't think we should do this. I don't like what this is going to do to our organization, where if you get the support from them and show them how this is going to make our clients give our care so much better, then often you start to get those people that, hey, glass is half full. This is my test menu. The first two columns are what we had installed with the Abbott 4100. So, you know, chemistry, thyroids, livers, kidneys, vitamins, that was what we had installed. The third column is what we just started 2 years ago. So we added HIV, hepatitis, syphilis, COVID, respiratories, strep A, and GC chlamydia. There also should be on there group strep B. I forgot it, sorry. So as you can see, that's my test menu, and that's quite a significant test menu for a small community. And then I'm also going to show you how the third column, adding that infectious disease and STDs, has really put us at the forefront of getting things resolved and tested. So that's my test menu. Construction of the new lab space. We're going to use the existing space. Medical got mad at me, and every once in a while when they want to pick on me, they say that, oh, you took two rooms of ours. So, yeah, we did take two rooms. But I think the benefits of having a lab on site really shows that those two rooms were greatly sacrificed, and they were justified in taking them over. I have a really great facilities director, really a visionary person who looked at what we wanted to do. I even took him around to visit other lab sites so he can kind of see how large some of the instrumentation was. And that really helped him get a vision as to how he wanted to lay it out. Of course, you can't close down the lab. You still need to run in a temporary space. Of course, IT needs to come in and look at their connections. And one of the things we kind of left at the ladder is floor drains and like reagent grade water. We needed to add some more floor drains for the Abbott 4100 and for the Sysmex 550, and then of course for the reagent grade water. So just lessons learned. This is the instrumentation, and as I'm not here to sell you anything, this is just the instrumentation that we selected for this project. There are many other brands and very other instruments that work really well. These are just the ones that we chose. The Abbott 4100, of course, it has a really nice expandable test menu. We were able to do a reagent rental. And I wanted to do a reagent rental because this was such a new project. So that way in a year or 2 years and medical just says this isn't working, then we can send the instrument back. But obviously we have not sent the instrument back. And whatever test we can add, we add on it. We chose the XN 550. I was familiar with this product. I was that third shift tech in a large hospital when I couldn't get my cell pack to prime or my QC was failing. And I apologize, but I was that third shift tech that was on the edge ready to jump. So you're able to call Sysmex. They were able to calm you down. Great customer service. So I'm sorry, I don't want you to think I'm promoting this brand, but they just had excellent customer service, especially to deal with the third shift tech. They're able to do a six-part diff. They have a Beyond Care monitoring system. My MCV was kind of drifting for a week, and I was trying different things, but then all of a sudden I get a call from Sysmex, and Sysmex says, we noticed that your MCV is trending. So they were automatically able to call and see what was going on. So I thought that was a really nice feature. The third instrument, we got the Cepheid. I had just bought a little four-door prior to, I'm going to say COVID. But I had bought one prior to COVID, and we hadn't had a chance to set it up. So I already had a little four-door that was up and it was just sitting in a box, and then COVID hit. So, of course, the technology, the footprint is great, and you're able to do those PCR tests. And those are just pictures of our instrumentation in the lab and how it looks in the lab. So that is why we built the lab out. So the next slide is, let's talk about infectious diseases. Infectious diseases are diseases, are illnesses caused by germs such as bacteria, viruses, and fungi that enter the body, multiply, and can cause an infection. Some of the infectious diseases are contagious or communicable, meaning they are capable of spreading from one person to another. Native Americans are... the number one way to prevent STDs and infectious diseases are outreach and education. And that's something I've really learned with this organization, is wherever they can go and talk about infectious diseases and STDs, they go. Whether it's university or colleges, they go to fairs, they go to festivals. And it's really getting the word out there just by educating them. Outreach. And then, of course, you're educating them. The best way to prevent infectious diseases and STDs is talk about to prevent. So we often are lab people, and we're so focused on the lab test, getting the lab result, we actually are looking outside the bubble as far as outreach and education. Of course, being a Native American clinic, Native Americans are 5 times more likely to get infectious disease or STDs, and also they're more likely to get diabetes, more likely to get coronary heart disease, and to get a lung disease as well. And why is that? Because of the socioeconomics. There's a lack of transportation. So in our area, we try to provide transportation to get those clients in to be seen. The lack of medical services. A lot of times these patients are driving 2 hours just to get to the clinic, and that's a lot of time and a lot of money spent to get them the care that they need. What happens is, because also they don't believe in traditional medicine, they don't believe in modern medicine. They still believe in the Native American medicine. So that's something, I never really thought about until I came to this organization, and we still have that mindset that they don't believe in modern medicine. 2 years ago, back in May of 2022, Indian Health Services, which is the government, Indian Health Services, recommended an annual syphilis screen for those individuals that are 15 to 62, and we had already had the ability to add syphilis onto our instrumentation, and we just were doing a syphilis screen. We were just doing a qualitative, whether it was positive or negative. And surprisingly, we got 12 positive results on our syphilis annual screening. None of those people experienced any symptoms. So it was quite the shock when you find these things, when you think, oh, it's just a screen, we're not going to find anything. But we did, and that was a really great positive thing in our community to find those infections and get them treated. And then, of course, with the screening, then we would send it off to our reference lab to get an RPR done or completed. And then I just was on a call a couple weeks ago with Indian Health Services. They're actually going to start adding HCV for annual screen testing. And then the nice thing with our analyzer, a lot of times with the reference lab, we were drawing multiple tubes to go on multiple instrumentation, and where now we can just draw one tube of blood, and we can do all those tests, and we can do a second tube of blood, but of course, for the CBC. So we're reducing the anxiety of our clients by not having to draw 5, 7, 10 tubes. We're just able to draw two tubes, and they're like, you can do that all on one tube, and we're like, yep. So it really gives reduces the anxiety of the patient getting drawn. Measles. Has anyone gotten any measles in their area or their healthcare facility? No? We haven't either. But I wanted to talk about it because this is totally preventable, as all of you know. 2023, we had 1,500 cases. In California, we currently have 17 positive cases, and we currently have 7 active in California. Why? Unfortunately, being in northwestern California, we have a lot of anti-vaxxers. There's a lot of lack of knowledge about vaccines. So that's why we really make sure that our medical assistants and nurses and providers really are knowledgeable of vaccines, that they need to have a positive result about vaccines, where if they kind of don't believe in them, then they have kind of a negative result. So really promote vaccines and what they can do and what they can prevent. And sometimes vaccines aren't available. We have a couple of locations where we just don't have the storage, the appropriate storage. We don't have the appropriate refrigeration. And so we are working on that currently, but there is a location where we just can't get the space is just too small. So we have to do a portable cooler every day to bring vaccines up and down. And of course, there's going to be a lot more waste with that. But at least we're trying to get the vaccines available to those people, especially for the measles. This slide is, of course, I'm sorry to say I said the bad word again, COVID. COVID really brought a lot of, made a lot of analyzers, brought in-house PCR testing more available to not only the larger healthcare facilities, but to us individuals who are very small, and we needed that PCR testing, PCS testing, sorry. We introduced polymerase chain reaction, and with having a PCR in a small box or a small instrument, you're getting ready, reducing the amount of pipetting, you're getting rid of the plates, you're getting rid of the incubation and the plate washing and so forth. So it allows for there to be more accuracy because it is a PCR test. For us, it allowed us to eliminate some of the lateral flow testing, which with the lateral flow testing, there seems to be a little more area of rejection because you don't see the pink line may be very faint or the control line isn't showing up. So we were able to eliminate some of our lateral flow testing because we were able to add it to our PCR machine. And with the pandemic, it's provided us with greater access to PCR analyzers. So for instance, I have the Cepheid, there's the Sophia, there's a few others that are not coming to mind, but it gave PCR testing available to smaller communities such as myself to get those test results that are needed. I'm sorry, I ran through my presentation really quickly. So that is really all that I have. I thank you for your time and attention. Does anyone have any questions? No? Can you repeat the question? I'm sorry.
In such a tight labor market, what staffing strategy has worked best for rural locations like yours?
Sure. For staffing for rural locations as ours, it has been difficult because we are so rural. There's lack of colleges and universities that promote medical fields. So it can be really taxing to find current, whether they're medical assistants or laboratory assistants or even clinical laboratory scientists. Some of us still have to rely on those travelers that come and do their 13 weeks. And some of those travelers aren't really invested in what the companies do or what your vision is. They're just there to get the paycheck. So with that and with building this lab, it made us recognizable in the community, and we had individuals reaching out to us with the STD and hepatitis testing. Actually, public health was reaching out to us needing to do some surveillance on syphilis and hepatitis. So that was being in a Native American community, it was not heard of that the public health department was reaching out to us. But because of our technology and what we proved to community, we were able to show them that we could do this. So that's with staffing challenges. The other thing is with our university is changing to a polytechnic college. So we also are, we just got the approval to add a CLS program to our university. So that's something that is lacking, as most of you know, in the United States, a lack of CLS programs. A lot of them prior to COVID probably were eliminated, but now I see a uptick in new clinical laboratory scientists and laboratory assistant education and, of course, medical and nursing education. So thank you for your question. Were there any others? There are no local labs. The only local labs would be our large hospital, but that hospital maybe has 50 beds, and we do not have the same instrumentation, and they are not. They do more of the troponins and the blood bank and the microbiology that I really don't need. So if we need somebody to go, if they have a troponin that's needed, if they have a D-dimer that's needed, they don't need to be seen here at my local community clinic. They need to go across the street and go be seen in the hospital. So we don't often share testing. We did with COVID. We had for some of you that you know, there was the Perk and Elmer equipment, which was the PCR equipment. The county has reached out to us to see if we could take on the Perk and Elmer equipment because we did not have, nobody had the staff and we had the room. So we took on the Perk and Elmer equipment and it was very successful. And we did work with the other hospitals and other labs, or excuse me, community clinics within the community for us to go through our testing through the COVID tent. We called it the tent. Testing. So, but now that is not needed anymore. I mean, we still have a good relationship with other labs, but we're no longer sharing testing. Does that answer your question? Yeah. Thank you so much.
Why do you still have reference bills?
Hmm?
You said you still have reference bills.
We still have reference bills. I do not do ANAs. I don't do genetic testing. Those specific that are more more specialized that they need testing that I don't do in-house, then yes, we do send it to a reference lab.
Thank you. not find the hospitals around, do they not do that testing either?
No. Yeah, I've reached out to the hospitals to see if we can collaborate on some of the testing, and it's just, it was easier just to do the reference lab as well.
Since adding the STI testing, how much volume do you see for your patient population on a monthly basis?
Oh, yes, it has increased significantly. We probably do 2,600 to 3,000 samples a month.
How big of a patient population?
18,000. Well, now that they have the access to do all this testing, we find that the providers are ordering more and more tests. So they're doing more of the hepatitis to screen for hepatitis and sexually transmitted diseases, of course, with the high population of A1C. So, we do about 100 tests a day. So that's about 2,400 to 2,600 tests a month. So. California has their own type of Medicare, Medicaid, so we get per appointment, we get a fixed rate. So we are getting paid for the screening test because it's considered a visit. So like the STD testing, the syphilis, we are getting some sort of reimbursable because it's a fixed rate. Thank you so much. Thank you for your time. I hope you enjoyed my story. Have a great rest of your conference. Thank you so much.
This concludes the presentation. Please visit the Executive War College website for details on the 2025 event.